while. Of course, the hashtag MeToo movement has been everywhere. It's been prolific. Kind of all started out with the expose on Harvey Weinstein. And then at the time that that was going on, of course, there was another case, the Bill Cosby case. The first time around resulted in a hung jury. This time around, they were quick and he was brought to justice. And here to talk about that is Dr. Arlene Diamond. She's president of Diamond Associates. She's a workplace consultant, and she's an expert in that area of Me Too. And without further ado, I welcome to the program Dr. Diamond. Good morning.
Good morning, Diana. Thank you. It's so, Arlene, by the way.
It's Arlene. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
Arlene.
I've been fighting it since school. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So Arlene.
Yes.
You have had a situation now, you know, Bill Cosby, and I don't know why anybody could say, well, you know, that's a 30-year-old allegation. You know, there's nothing consensual when he drugs you.
No,
nothing consensual.
It's disgusting.
It's right. Assault. Yes. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And what do you think is the difference? The first time around, you know, it was a hung jury. They didn't really get anywhere. The next time around, boy, they came up with a verdict very quickly. And how much do you think that the difference of Me Too and all the Weinstein stuff breaking between the first and the second trial made?
I think it had a huge difference. Of course, I wasn't there. I don't know what other evidence or, you know, or anything like that was presented. But I think for all of us, it was shocking to think about Bill Cosby, Dr. Huxtable, you know, doing anything wrong. He was a paragon of virtue as far as we were all concerned. And so it wasn't until so many people came forward, both about him, but also about other people that were revered, and basically said, no, you know what? This happens a lot. And just the volume of people that have come forth, you got to look at it differently, and I think probably the second jury did.
Well, it seems to me that, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on in Hollywood with guys like Weinstein who call themselves, you know, women's advocates. And, you know, workplaces elsewhere, I think, have paid a lot more attention to this kind of stuff for a much longer time if you're just, you know, somebody working in a run-of-the-mill company. But out there in Hollywood, I guess they figured those laws didn't apply because the casting couch was their birthright.
Well, I think there's two sides of that, to be fair. That there's a real difference between, I somehow have the Industrial Revolution flashing in my head, there's a real difference between vulnerable, needy people who are bullied, coerced, and threatened by bullies, by their bosses, that if they don't put out, to be perfectly frank about it, they're going to lose their jobs. People who are, you know, single parents, people who are refugees who have come from other places that desperately need jobs. I think that's real different from somebody in Hollywood who is talking about thousands, if not millions of dollars, saying, okay, this is a price I'm willing to pay. There's a quid pro quo there on both sides. And I think we need to take that into account as well.
And I am glad that you said that. I mean, I worked on a trading floor, in the pits of a trading floor, Chicago Board of Options, back in 1984.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is before harassment laws. This is figure out your own way.
Right.
Of
me
handling
too,
yourself. And what's that?
I said me too.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you just dealt with it, and it sounds like you have a pretty assertive personality. I certainly do. And so I never got put quite in that position, although I could say there were things that happened there that blew my mind. I found a way that they really regretted doing that to me, my own ways. But,
sure.
You know, I know one time I was going and I was looking for a job as a clerk with a guy who had a seat, and he was known for putting other people on seats with his money. And so there I am, and I, you know, I'm credentialed in this. I've been at it for a while. And basically, he quid pro quoed me. And, you know, I was having none of that, you know, and I told him off. But the next thing you know, here's this chick in this job, not nearly as qualified, but boy, does she look good.
Yes.
You know, she looks really good, and she's dressed more like she's going on a night at the town rather than working in a trading floor pit with a bunch of snorting, sweaty, you know, I mean, that's what it's really like. And, you know, that's... It's,
know it. I know it well. Yeah.
It's a frustrating thing because, you know, you're playing by the rules and they're not. And everyone that isn't playing by the rules that decides they're going to get that advantage makes it harder for everybody who doesn't want to do it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. But to your point, I mean, I lost a job once because I wouldn't go to bed with the boss. But I actually think it's because I laughed in his face. But, you know, be that as it may. But I was still living in my mother's house. I knew I was safe. Mm-hmm. I was still in New York in those days, and I got another job the next day. You make your decisions. You know, do I want to play this game or do I not want to play this game? But there are a lot of people. Is it Diane or Diana?
Diane
with an E?
Yep.
Okay. There's a lot of people that really are. They're too weak. They're too vulnerable. They've been raised to always be obedient. There's a lot of people that don't know how to say no. And I think part of our responsibility, I have a real sense of noblesse oblige, so forgive me for that. But I think for, you know, older women like ourselves, strong women like ourselves, been there, done that,
mm-hmm.
We have a responsibility to teach and encourage these people that are afraid to say no, to be able to say no. And that's part of what, when I do sexual harassment training, I look at both sides of it. I try to get men and women together to, you know, to talk over why this is offensive to a woman and why a guy thinks he's teasing, you know, and that it's the stupid things some of them do. You know, I try to get it away from bad and good so much as people react differently and what's socially appropriate. But I also try to work with women who are so vulnerable that they don't know how. And kind of give them the crutch, give them some help with that.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you have no idea how much I went through between a trading floor, first, eighth class of women at Notre Dame. That was an interesting experience as well. Just one thing after another. And, you know, I think all women of our generation went through a lot of that, especially mm-hmm. if you were in a field where they were looking at you like, why are you here? You must be part of a quota. And you're thinking, dude, how dare you? But, you know, I look at that and I see the side of that you're talking about. I really do. As far as, you know, women that they're not going to assert themselves, or if they lose this job, they don't have a roof over their head. They don't have a plan B.
Right.
My concern, and I've seen this happen already, I know men whose lives have been destroyed by false accusations where have to prove themselves innocent. And I mean, it is devastating.
You can't. And I am one of the biggest advocates for due process. I just completed a book, just because of all of this Me Too stuff, called Conducting Workplace Investigations, Designated Investigator. And I talk about, extensively, I talk about our biases. And we've got to be so careful, and the importance of due process. Part of what happens, Diane, in the workplace that scares me is you have untrained, I'm just going to blame HR, but people in management, largely HR people, who think they're, quote, protecting the victim, unquote, by not giving the alleged perp any information that he could even consider proving himself innocent. Somebody comes into your office and says, do you know what that dirty old man did to me? He touched me. And that's it. His life's doomed. I don't know what truth is, but, you know, what happened with Weinstein, what happened with Cosby, those are criminal behaviors.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. But from the only thing I saw on TV about Tom Brokaw was that he tried to kiss one woman, and another woman, he took her hands and put them on his chest with clothing on. That, as far as I can tell, is the only thing I saw on TV. If that's all that's alleged, it's nothing. I mean, it's just stupid stuff. It doesn't even rise to the level of harassment. To harass is to annoy or irritate.
See, what you're doing, I think, is putting an element of practicality. Workplace practicality
thing.
And all kinds of... But no, I like that. I love that. Because, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Yes, I'm a woman... I've been through it. You've obviously been through it, too. We dealt with
it.
I'm
a redhead.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so it's even worse for you.
And I modeled when I was young.
Yeah, and you know,
and
I mean...
the New York subways.
Yeah, you know? If you're an attractive young woman...
Yeah, I was.
It is an unbelievable things that happen, and, you know, they're not really respecting your mind, I can tell you that much. They're not respecting your mind, even if you can run circles around them, they don't care. Anyway, we're going into ancient history, but now I am a wife, and I'm a mom. I have a daughter who knows how to be assertive. I love my daughter. I want my daughter protected. I don't want this kind of stuff happening to her. I want her to be self-equipped to deal with it. I also have two sons. And I, you know, I don't like this idea where it gets brought down in gender lines. Well, wait a minute now. You're on the woman's side. You're on the man's side. You know what?
Yeah.
I deal with all of them. I love men. I love women. I hate to see people I love hurt unjustly.
I'm with you 100% on that. And I think that's why, just to brag for a second, my training is so effective. Because I love men. 99% of my relationships with men have been glorious. There is that 1% of idiots out there. And we've got to be careful not to lump it all together.
And we've got to be careful not to say, you know, and I get it. You know, somebody makes an accusation, that should be taken seriously to the extent that it should be examined.
Yes.
But and somebody shouldn't be ostracized right out of the gate for making it. But I also think that sometimes we've reached a point where that accusation, you know, taking it seriously means it must be true because women would never lie, which, of course, we know that's not true either.
No, this is like the witch hunt of the 80s was child abuse. I don't know if you remember back to all that was going on then.
Yes.
Children don't lie, but if they do, they don't lie about this. That was the slogan of the 80s. And children confabulate. I was involved back in those days in a lot of cases, which we don't want to go into right now. But I think that what you're saying is absolutely true. I think everyone should take seriously allegations. In the past, we didn't. In the past, it was, oh, boys will be boys. And I've been involved in a number of cases where really bad things happened because management didn't take seriously somebody saying, hey, this is what's happening to me. I can remember when some women were going into becoming forest rangers, the disgusting things that men did to them that they told me about. I was doing therapy in those days, and you know, I was counseling these women that were just subject to some of the most, you know, like dirty, bloody rats in their locker. I mean, things like that, just ugly kinds of things. I'm not in any way trying to make light of the seriousness of the abuse that has in fact occurred, but I think due process is critically important, and I look at it, it's become a weapon, Diane. It's a political weapon. Oof. You know, if you're a Democrat, blame some Republicans for being dirty old men. If you're, you know, the Republican blame some Democrats. With, you know, pick your political party, you know, to blame, and it's another way of getting rid of people in management. It's certainly destroying some pretty famous people.
And I don't think, honestly, you talk about due process and taking accusations seriously, and I get that because lived it, okay, lived it, but. I think that if the due process is truly held, and on college campuses, I would argue that a lot of times it is not, when they use Title IX as a verb, as in, I can Title IX you.
Yes, right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Then yeah, you're looking at this and you're telling your son, hey, you know what? This is a minefield, buddy. This is a minefield.
That's what I'm telling people these days. That is exactly what I'm telling them. Be super cautious. I just told this physical therapy company, really nice people, keep the doors open. Don't close the doors of the examining rooms.
Amazing. Truly amazing.
Yeah.
And if the due process truly happens, as it needs to on college campuses, I think they need to start getting sued for some of these cases that are just ridiculous. But if due process really happens, what that ends up doing is that the legitimate cases are even further legitimized.
Yes.
If due process really takes place, people are going to be much more likely to say, wow, you know what, if this was vetted through. Whereas now, you know, and you're not allowed to say it out loud, but you see all this volume of stuff coming out and you see this lack of due process in so many places, especially campuses. And you start thinking, I'm tired of hearing about this. This is railroading men in ways.
Yes. But and there's another piece to it, too, is if a woman says what you and I are saying right now, she gets vilified.
Oh, I know that.
Drummed out of the core of women. Is considered not a feminist and, you know, whatever other kind of dirty word they can think of.
Oh, they think of all these different things.
I mean, what we're doing is heresy. It's pure heresy.
But I've never cared about what they think.
But
I do think that
I've gotten in lots of trouble too.
I know, but you know what? If we're the only ones, truly, that can speak out on this, we are the only ones who can speak out on this and are going to be listened to on this. Are women with a forum? Women who love women and men who have sons and daughters, you know, and all of that. And if we don't speak practicality, like, okay, let's bring this back down to earth. Let's look at the really justice of it. No one will do it because they're not going to listen to men. The minute a man opens his mouth, it's like, ooh, me too. You're a pig. You know, seriously.
True.
I know. I'm going on my soapbox here,
Arlen. That's okay. It's a great soapbox because it's an important one. We've got to come into balance. One of the things that I've been saying is, just like in the penal code, you have an infraction, a misdemeanor, and then classes of felonies. We've got to look at this whole thing the same way. We cannot take some guy being socially inappropriate and put him in the same category as Weinstein and Crosby. They're rapists. They're disgusting. They're even disgusting kinds of rapists. You know, there's such a difference. And to vilify some guy that, you know, made some inappropriate remark 30 years ago, it's craziness.
True. And Arlen, I would love to carry on this conversation all day because it's fascinating. It's fascinating. And I think, you know, things have a way of leveling themselves out. They always go crazy.
I think they will.
You know, I mean, nobody is ever moderate coming out of the gate, you know, goes one way or another and somewhere hopefully you settle in the middle.
It'll
of something.
It'll come into balance. Thank
it
you.
Will.
Yeah.
True that. And
people like you and me are going to force it into balance.
We are. Good, yeah. Good. Dr. Arlen Diamond, is there a place where folks can read about your, you know, some of these thoughts that you've been expressing? And
I actually do a blog, and so, yeah, it's Arlen's Diamonds, I think is what I call my blog. My website has a lot of information, and that's www.diamondassociates.net, and that's plural, diamondassociates.net. But I think you can find the blog if you Google me, I think.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning.
And thank you very much for having me. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have a great rest of your week, ma'am.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Dr. Arlen Diamond. Fascinating. Another one that thinks like me. I tell you what, I could tell you stories that would make your hair curl.